So it is, in about all of these areas, it's trying to heal or trying to learn the unknown. Here's reflexology. Down at the bottom of your feet, they say, you can map that out as a chart of your whole body. And this area of the foot is your heart, and this is your lungs, and this area is your kidneys, and this is your gallbladder, and this is your stomach, and all that stuff. The medium between the bottom of your foot and your organs is not electrical current, but mediumistic spirit. Once again. Over and over again. Whenever you go into things, iridology, you look in the eye, and you'll be able to see a chart that sees the whole body. That is only consulting a possibility. In some cases, it's nothing but quackery. And in other cases, mediumistic spirits show up depending how psychic the individual has been dabbling with or is oriented. A mediumistic spirit shows up and tells you those things. Some of the things you want to know. But as you know, in all devil things, they are not accurate. They fail. They're often dead wrong. But that doesn't say they show up. But none of them are always right. God is the only one that's always right. These people, these mediums, they can guess at it, and sometimes they hit it, and sometimes they don't, and that's what confuses people. But there are many times that it worked, and they were right. Last March, we had a man who got sick in another state with gangrene on his intestines. Well, he wasn't feeling the best Sunday mornings, but he was going to go to church anyhow. So his wife called up the local witch doctor, or the man who practiced with his radionics box, and told him, here the man was sick over at this house and just got sick. And he wasn't to the man for a long time, or maybe a week, or a month. But he had his files, and he had a Polaroid picture in his files. So the wife, calls up the witch doctor and says, put his picture in, find out what's wrong, my husband isn't feeling good. And incidentally, that can be done 1,000 miles away on a telephone. In goes the Polaroid picture, and he says he's very, very sick. His energy level's extremely low. You better get him to the hospital as soon as possible. Off to the hospital they went, took him into the emergency room. Yes, he had gangrene of the intestines and wouldn't have made it to the end of the day. The man with the black box thought he saved his life. It worked. Both those men, this one over here who was sick, messed around in Ouija boards, consulted it daily in his life years ago. He messed around with all forms of occultic things. He had the black box on him numerous times. The other man was a practicing witch doctor who exercised this and practiced with the box. The two made a connection, and the devil had free course. It's the only thing I can explain or figure out, and that's as far as I need to go. They operated on him, gave him a colostomy, and saved his life for that time, although he died some months later. He never really came back to health again. But before he died, he found the Lord. He got his life straightened up. He renounced his Ouija board. He renounced his black box. He renounced his sin and corruption. And as far as I know, died and went to heaven. But he wouldn't have if he'd have died 6 months before, and his family knew it. And they cried out to God for mercy when he got sick, that the Lord would spare his life until somebody could help him get the gospel into his heart and get right with God. And God answered the prayer of those who were by faith, believed him, and cried out to God, and the man died a Christian, as far as we know. All right, now let me tell you a little bit what happens here and the effects of this thing. There is a known resistance to spiritual things. People involved in these things cannot get hot for God. Try as they may, over and over they confess to us, I had a hook in me and I could only go so far in my Christian life and no further. I just run up against the wall. I tried many times, but I could never get there. Abnormal passions, and especially as to do with sexuality. Actual maniacs come out of this thing. When they have given themselves to this, they have turned into virtual beasts into their own homes and into their own families, and have such abnormal passions, lust, that they molest, rape, take by force, or whatever you can imagine. Put people under tremendous suppression, even like the other partner, to the point where they nearly kill themselves. I have seen and known of a couple cases that have virtually ruined their bodies by their abnormal passions. Selfishness is another one. They do not have a giving heart, but usually want to gratify and satisfy themselves, and they're a very selfish person. I want my potatoes this way. I want to have it done this way. I want to do it when I want to do it. And all the rest of the family has to dance to that tune. Instability. And you'll have a lot of gyrating and roller coastering in life. Mood swings. Bad mood swings. And up and then way down. A callousness. A real hardness of heart. Nobody can tell him his needs. Violent tempers is another. Tempers that just are violent and just fly off the handle and smack the children around and beat them up. I got a call from Canada the other night where a father and mother are beating their children up, and they're coming to school beat up, and the school board investigates what's wrong, and they said, how often this happened? About once a month? They said daily. Daily they are getting beat up by their parents, and of course they believe that their signs are there, that they're possessed. Vicious critical attitude, especially so with anything different from the norm, like their traditions. Oh, they spew out all kinds of stuff, and they're not easily influenced into something new, or the gospel, or revival, or a new practice that they haven't practiced in their traditional background. They get very upset and very uptight about it. Difficulty in Bible reading. Most of those who are involved in these things have great difficulty. I have sent them home already to read a couple of chapters, and they were not even able to read any when they were challenged to go home and read the scriptures. You know, because we were trying to make it manifest, and it manifested double, triple strength, that they couldn't even read the scriptures. Same way with prayer. Very poor prayer life. Insensitivity or resistance to anything about the Holy Spirit. Nervous disturbances. Nervous disorders. Fidgetiness. On medicine to keep calm. Sleeplessness and such like. Emotional and mental illnesses. And then, of course, we even have it going into the charismatic experiences where they duplicate what should be a filling of the Holy Spirit. We have the charismatic churches having all kinds of false experiences like this, and they're all connected with the same thing. I mean, many of those false experiences seem to also be connected with the occult. And when I know somebody's been in that because of the strange phenomena that take place in their lives, such as being slain in the spirit and such like, I ask them to renounce it the same way as I do all the rest. Because a strange phenomena beyond their own powers takes place in those charismatic meetings. They are just touched by the tip of the evangelist's finger, and they go stone cold right out on the floor. And other strange things happen. And a lot of times, again, in those circles, you will have moral depravity. It is not just by happening that those preachers and teachers have fallen morally. I don't believe that just happened. It's because there is where the problem lies. They are involved in occultic things in the name of God, and they cannot control their passions. They cannot control it. And I'll give you another challenge. Find me a water-smelling or practicing preacher who has any effect in revival. Now, I'd like to mention a little bit yet about some more curious arts. A little bit about powwowing. When I was 10 years old, I was burned in a fire. I put a match in a lantern, and it wouldn't go on, and then I tried to pump some air in quick, and it was filled with gas. The check valve stuck in the bottom of the pump, and when I pulled the handle back, it squirted gas over my chest, because I was going like this. And the match was inside lit, and I was quick trying to put a little air in so it would take yet before I have to put another match. The fire followed, and I burned over my chest. I ran out of the building, and somebody saw me and got me and rolled me over, but I had second and third degree burns over my chest and my right arm, left arm. While I was in pain, and of course terrible pain. But some days afterward, with a scab all over my chest, my grandmother sent for a witch doctor from Holmes County, Ohio, who was practicing in Lancaster County at that time, and he came there, put his hands on top of me, went through all kinds of groans and grunts and funny noises, never touching me to try to pull the pain out of it. This is what we call powwowing, or as some of you Pennsylvania Dutchers know it, as brach doctor. Those fellas, that powwowing is an Indian thing that apparently our forefathers in this country have picked up, not being spiritual again, dead, not having discernment, collaborating back and forth with the Indians, have picked up what we know as powwowing. This is still going on around here today, still going on sometimes, or has been not too far in the past in Lancaster County, in one form or another. These people are highly effective in doing something for people, but at the same time, the after effect of powwowing on an individual allows that individual, or plagues that individual, or affects that individual in depression and despondency and mood swings, of which I, of course, had it. I hated Mondays, and I had all kinds of mood swings, and I don't know if it came just from this. Conversion wiped a lot of that out of my life. But I had some other strange experiences that took place in my life, which I'm not going to go into. Another one is, watch out for Indian artifacts. Here, some time ago, a Apache Indian with hair down to here, who was a truck driver, came into our place there at Denver Cold Storage, and he began to tell us what kind of an original Indian he is, and he's a medicine man. And he took his paraphernalia and smacked it right there on the counter for us to look at. He had different things in a bag, and he went on to explain how they work and how they do. And I'll tell you, it didn't take me 5 minutes to see that he was genuine. I mean, that fella had it. And he was a hot Indian medicine man, or a powwower, or a witch doctor. They're all the same. And we witnessed to him about Jesus Christ, and of course he didn't need Jesus Christ. He was hateful. He was talking about all the power they had, and the white men, they have many acres down there, thousands and thousands of acres that white men never tread upon. And if they do, they'll lose their life. He said the United States government just went around them, just fenced them off and said let them do their own stuff. And they have never really conquered the land to this day down in New Mexico or Arizona. Watch out for powwowing. But sad to say, over Amish and so forth, Mennonite perhaps, people have been powwowing for generations because they have learned it from the Indians, thought again, they could save some money and practice this stuff to heal people. And it's going on right here in your county today yet. Another one is radionics, which is the art of this black box stuff. That's an unbelievable thing, but it started in California, Kansas City, is the organization called Acres that promotes the black box. A friend of mine went there some time ago to try to learn how to grow his crops organically. And they teach that the black box is effective in being able to kill the weeds in the field and kill the bugs on the alfalfa and what have you. I guess that he wanted to use less sprays, so he was sucked into the meeting. At the meeting, he kept asking questions down there in Kansas City. Well, what about this and how do I learn it? And they said, if you want to learn, you come up to a hotel room tonight. He walked up there in a certain room and went in. And as soon as he went in the room, he felt very eerie and strange. And these fellows were sitting in there trying to tell him how to use this and how to get this power. He came out of that room a different man. He got scared. We wouldn't let him do it to him. But he left and was already affected. A few weeks ago, or about maybe 5-6 weeks ago now, I was in another state, and he responded and he said, I can't even tell you. I walked up to him and said, how are you doing? And when I did that, he was able to say a few words. But he said, I have wanted to get a hold of you for months to tell you that I need help. And every time I get around you, I can't even tell you that I have a problem. And I said, you take your children home and show up over at the brother's house and we'll take care of this thing tonight. But he said, even right now, when I finally left you know, he said, my hands get hot. And I have all kinds of funny feelings just to tell you that I'm in it. So he came over there, repented, confessed the thing, renounced it. As far as I know, he's doing beautifully. He's clear to this day. Also, when we went into Kelowna, Iowa last August to have meetings, people told us that Kelowna, Iowa is under a dark cloud. We didn't know anything about Kelowna, Iowa. I had no relatives there or any close friends prior to that hardly. But we went in there and they told us that evangelists have in the past come into that area in its Mennonite churches or Beachy or Amish or whatever and have preached the gospel for a week and went home and said they felt it the entire week and nothing happened. There's a dark cloud over the area. Well, it didn't take me long to figure out what's going on because I knew of the things that are so predominantly practiced in that area. We began to pray to the God of heaven that he breaks that dark cloud over Kelowna, Iowa. And we preached night after night. And it was hard preaching. I said later on, I felt like I was leaning against the wind all the time for about the first five nights until we preached on witchcraft and laid it out just a little like tonight, not quite, but preached an hour or so on witchcraft and preached against it. And there was people in the services that wanted to laugh at me. One lady even wanted to wash her hands after I shook hands with her. And she felt I was a piece of poison around there. And she said, when you said there's a dark cloud over Kelowna, I wanted to laugh out loud. They thought it was ridiculous. But it didn't take us long to see that there was no revival around there for a long time worth talking about. And it was such a low key, I was at a funeral some time ago there, and I listened to the men preach. And the first man that preached didn't use the name of Jesus one time until he said, in Jesus' name we pray. All forms of it. These men, these practitioners, were treating their fields, treating their bodies, treating their children, and each other with this thing. And we took issue with that and preached it for what it is. And that stuff started coughing up. And it's not done tonight yet. It has been coughing up for the last 5 months. And people are repenting. And they're cleaning up their lives. And they're getting delivered from it through the power of Jesus Christ. And it is phenomenal. I'll tell you, the devil kicked up such a storm, which I told you about it on Monday night a little bit, that is known to those that are cleaned up because of it. But anyway, that night after I preached that, people said they need some counsel. Some things are beginning to make sense. And we met on Friday afternoon with a young lady who had been satanically involved in the area, and she was set free, and then of course it just went from there. But about, 6 weeks ago, or 6 weeks ago, there was a young lady, a young married woman with two children having trouble. And she revealed herself to the other lady that got cleaned up that she's having some problems. And she said, your problem sounds like my problem. You need help. And she worked on her to try to open her life for help. She was at the meeting in August at the tent, and she went at the building where we had. She went home and said, that guy doesn't know what he's talking about. She said, I was disgusted. She wasn't back any more nights. But all at once, her trouble surfaced. In September, she ended up in the hospital with a blood clot on her lung. She had two miscarriages this past year. She was in the hospital with a blood clot on her lung. She was in the pit of depression so deep that she was just simply had a wall out around her, and her husband was on the outside. Their relationship was practically in shambles, and things were serious. When she got in the hospital to have to be put on warfarin or medicine to try to dissolve the blood clot in her lung, she was lying there one night and had company. And during the time she was lying in bed there, she all at once they drifted way off, like in the end of a far tunnel. And she could barely hear them. She could hear them, but it was like they were a long ways off. And a dark cloud of oppression and depression came down on her in that room and settled on her so badly that she pushed the button for help. The nurses came in, did blood work, called the doctor, thought she had a stroke and everything, but nothing happened. And nobody knew what to do. And the hospital said, we still have no idea what happened to you. But that she did that, hid it in her heart, went home, and barely was able to make it day by day under the heavy load of darkness and depression and discouragement and living in her own little world. until finally she met this sister about 6 weeks ago. And that sister said, I think I know what your problem is. If you open your heart and let some help come in here, I think we can get help for you. They called me up and asked whether I'd come, and I said, I'll try and be on the plane tomorrow morning. And it didn't quite work out. We had a brother's meeting, and so I put it off a day, and then I needed to go to Wisconsin for the weekend for a baptism. So I said, if we can, let's wait till Friday. I'll be out there Friday, and then I need to go to Wisconsin Saturday. I got out there. We had an appointment for 3 o'clock in the afternoon. We sat down and listened to her story, and she told the whole story of what it was. The doctor was ready to put her on continual medicine for her nerves. He said, you cannot go on like this. He said, we're going to have to put you on medicine. And she saw herself, it scared her terribly, because she saw herself living as a zombie for maybe the rest of her life, and she was in her 20s. She couldn't bear that. She knew what medicine does to people like that. And of course, that really grieved her. And finally, in desperation like that, she was ready to have help. Here's her story. She's married 8 years. And not having children, not being able to have children, went to the black box practitioner, the radionics man, which we had called the witch doctor in the area, to try to get fertility treatments for her. And he put that thing on her. Later on, she got medical help and had 2 children. Although there was trouble with the children, too, there was activities in the children that she could never figure out. They were wild or difficult to control, and there was just a lot of problems there. But anyway, there's where she got into trouble. That's what we traced to it. When she went to that, she said, when that black box came into this area, I wanted nothing to do with it. But little by little, I broke down, and the next thing, my husband wanted me to go try it, and so I went, and we tried it, and he put that thing on me and treated me and put my picture into it and all that, and that's when the trouble started. She got down on her knees, repented of the entire thing. And I'll tell you, we had a revival in that room that was worthy for anyone to witness. Her and her husband were fully restored. It was just like a honeymoon after that for them. They had a love for each other that they had not known for quite a long time. And all at once, the spiritual life came back, assurance of salvation came back, and incidentally, whenever this kind of involvement takes place, assurance of salvation is foggy and dim. And most of the time, I ask them the question, if you died today, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? They can't tell me yes. They usually tell me, I don't know, I don't think so, or I'm not sure, and I'm confused, or something like that. Anyway, tonight, she is instrumental in helping other people, and she is free, and her children are free. And there's a difference that the neighborhood, who doesn't even believe in what took place, can see with a naked eye. And we praise God for it. Now, praise God, Friday night, the man who did the practicing, 63-year-old man, he gave his heart to the Lord, repented of the whole thing, and he's free. As far as I know, everything's fine there. Now we begin to see why the dark cloud. Now we begin to see the reality of what we faced in August. Yet there they all are. General Conference, Conservative Conference, Beachy, Non-Conference Mennonite, New Order Amish, Older Amish, they got them all. Now thank God that for most of the churches they had sensed this thing and didn't want anything to do with the black box. But still, they didn't come through clear enough to deal with the issue the way they ought to deal with it and offer the people deliverance by the power of God and have a great revival where they turn the people back to God. You don't just throw that stuff away. Some of them were putting it into their closet and not practicing it anymore. According to the book, Ephesus there, the church of Ephesus, you don't put the curious arts in your closet. You make a bonfire, and you get rid of it, and you sing songs of victory. That's the way to get rid of witchcraft. You don't put it under the table, or in your closet, or in your attic. I don't want it in my attic. Out in Indiana, now we discover the same thing in almost the worst proportion in central Indiana, north central. And we haven't been there yet, but a lady comes to us, and she is attending our church presently, and she had some questions about some things in her life and finally spilled her beans. And she has the same story. A similar story. Her mother got it from a German Baptist, plain lady, and showed her how to do it. She began practicing it. And this is weird. But you put codes on you, code 14, then you don't give off your cold or your disease to anyone else, and it can be practiced from 1,000, 2,000 miles away on the telephone. You go and touch your children while I talk to you on the phone, and I can tell you what's wrong with them from 2,000 miles away. That stuff is going on. The people believe in it. And the churches aren't prospering. There's been no revival for a long time. Nothing is happening. The churches are falling apart. Some of them, there is trouble on every hand. Mental depression, sexual immorality, unharnessed appetite. And I'll tell you without even going there that I believe I know what the problem is. It's because they have dabbled in witchcraft for the last couple generations, maybe four or five, and the whole gamut is affected by it. Or most of them. Again, I might say 80% or so. People are vexed, depressed, no victory, and no assurance. Now, I want to give you something yet on homeopathy. I would recommend very highly to you this book. It's called Can You Trust Your Doctor by John Weldon. If you want to write that down or come up and look at it afterwards, you can. But it is the most descriptive book about all the healing arts about that are out there and showing you what's wrong with him. Chiropractic, which was started by occultic men, which I believe that simple bone cracking is probably innocent, but what happened is the chiropractors are going into all this other stuff, so you got to be very careful. Acupuncture, channeling, altered states of consciousness, meditation, herbal medicine, kinesiology, attitude healing, channeling, and, you know, yin and yang and all that stuff is in here. But I want to show you this thing about homeopathy in here. The founder of homeopathy is a man by the name of Samuel Hahnemann. And first of all, I want to show you what homeopathy is. When you go to an herb store, you want to look at the bottle to see whether it's a homeopathic medicine or not. If it's a homeopathic medicine, it'll have on there 1C, 2C, 12C, 30C is on the side of the bottle. You don't know what that means, but what that means is it has been diluted one drop into 100. 2C is twice. And then it takes that mixture and dilutes one drop of that into a neutral water again. Now, when you get up to a 30C, this is unbelievable. But there is nothing left of the original vitamin or mineral that was put in. That is about the same as one drop in all the oceans of the world. 30C is unbelievable. In fact, a 12C is, I think they say, one drop in 100 and some Lake Superiors. So a 30C, and Samuel Hahnemann indicated that you can go up, it gets better and better and better, up to 50C, which is one drop in millions of worlds of water. So I'll read a little bit about that here. The homeopathic asks us to believe in magic, that the equivalent mixture of one drop of water in a million, billion, trillion oceans, the size of our solar system, has great medicinal powers. It's like taking a grain of a substance and dissolving it in billions of spheres of water, each with the diameter of the solar system, and then claiming that the resulting mixture is powerful medicine. That is nonsense, not medicine. Now what they do is they take this original mixture and they put a little herb in it, maybe, to start with. Then they take one drop out of it, mix it with 100 drops of other fresh water, and then they shake it. And that's supposed to make it strong. Then they take a drop of that and put it in 100 parts of other, and then they shake it again. And the shaking is what they believe strengthens it. And they keep shaking until they have a 12C or a 30C. So if you pick up a bottle and look at the store, you'll see on there, if it's homeopathy medicine or homeopathic medicine, you'll see 3C, 12C, 30C, or whatever on there. Now let me tell you something about Samuel Hahnemann. He was a psychic, and I mean a big one. Another area that may reflect Hahnemann's occultic involvement is the personality alteration and personal tragedies which so often accompany those involved in occultic practices. His children lived in terrible poverty. His medical practice was a failure. Both he and his family had a tragic history. One son died shortly after birth. Another, who was mentally ill, left one day and never returned. Three of his daughters' marriages ended in divorce. Two daughters were murdered in a mysterious way. Another daughter died at birth. Another died when she was 30. His only remaining son deserted his wife and child. Over the years, Hahnemann's character and personality had changed in strange ways. It says, one of his biographers observes, Hahnemann had to empty the cup of soup with which his father had endowed him. Even homeopathic treatments may cause the same kind of problems found in other forms of occultic healing. At least one physician relates his own clinical experience. The occult influence in homeopathy is transmitted to the individual, bringing him consciously or unconsciously under demonic influence. It is significant frequently to find nervous depression in families using homeopathy treatments. That's the way I find most of those people come to me. They might be on Valium to keep calm. They might see a doctor pretty regularly to try to keep their nerves in order, but that is just the way it is. Vexed, depressed, nervous, no joy, no victory, no assurance, and just if you talk to them, they say, I have a hook in my life, I can never make any progress. Now, I would say the same for all this yin and yang, muscle testing, positive, negative, magnetism, iridology, the whole stuff. It's all just another. And then I would like to say, especially, how deadly, deadly Ouija boards are. And we would think that might not be necessary to mention, but it surely is. Now, let me talk. Let me go to 1 Corinthians 10:20. I'll show you the clear scriptural response to this stuff. I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devils. And that's why we say, without any question, don't ever take communion with them. Don't ever take communion with them. I believe it's the cup of devils, and if I would have taken communion, I believe it's wise for you to pray concerning that and ask the Lord to forgive you for your ignorance, not knowing the scriptures, not knowing the seriousness of it, and repent of it and ask the Lord to forgive you. Now, here's the remedy. The remedy, of course, let me tell you, first of all, that the most of these people will declare they have the gift of God. Most of these practitioners declare it's a gift of God, and they're helping people. That's what they say. They will never owe up to the fact of the oppression and depression and all that demonic influence that they put upon people. I will agree, when the devil heals, he only transfers the problem. He may heal a finger, but then you have it in your leg, or you have it in your head or your heart. And that's what a lot of times happens. Yes, the warts disappear when you have a witch doctor do so, or the powwow or do something over them. They may disappear, but then you have depression as a byproduct of it. You never get a total cure. You only get a transfer of problems. Now, I would like to caution here against the extreme. I do not believe that all of our problems that we have in life, physical or mental or spiritual, have to do with this thing. Some people, they get off on this thing now that whenever they have a problem, they all at once think, well, I must have been involved in witchcraft and that's why I'm depressed. No, there are other causes of depression. There are other spiritual causes, not being fervent for the Lord, or maybe even a hormonal imbalance or with childbirth or something like that. I do, however, know that many depressions and oppressions and lack of assurances and so on do have a source in this stuff if you've been involved in it. But I caution you against a radical extremism here. The remedy is repentance. That's the clear, like I preached the other night, the remedy is not that difficult. You need to repent. If you've been deeply involved, you need to do it with someone. Most of the simple matters, I believe you can go by your bedside or in your closet and just simply say, cry out to God, tell Him I'm sorry, I repent, and I never want any parts of it. Forgive me, Lord, for my blindness, and say, Lord, sanctify me, body, soul, and spirit, in the name of Jesus. But when it's just like pulling weeds, When I was young, I was sent out to help the maid one day to clean the strawberry patch. And some of the weeds were left go that long that we both had to get hold of them to pull them out. It seems a little that way with this. Some people who are so demonically influenced need help. And there you need a spiritual brother or sister, or oftentimes I recommend, most always, I would recommend spiritual authority, which should be an elder or a couple of brethren, that constitutes some spiritual authority, that can tell what's going on and can tell it to leave and pray over them and so on. It is the most successful that I've found. Next, you destroy all objects. Burn them in a barrel, burn them outside, burn the books. Number two, you break all contact and friendship with those people. You do not keep social contact with people who are demonized or who are demonically influenced. And you don't take your children to stay at their house. You don't do that. There have been some sad consequences of that. I give you two stories of that. And here's one I want to... You don't take them to a funeral of a person who committed suicide or was demon-possessed. Two cases that I had, one was a suicide case, another was a witch, or a person who practiced witchcraft, I think. Her father was a powwow. Took their children to the funeral innocently, to respect the aunt, you know, or the grandma, and came home that night, and the little children have trouble seeing things in the room and not knowing what to do. At a time like that, one called me from Georgia and said, "What do I do?" We took our children along to a funeral of an uncle who committed suicide. I said, "Don't ever take your children to a place where someone has committed suicide." But anyway, I said, "You lay hands on that child and take authority over it in the name of Jesus and tell that thing to let it alone and claim the blood of Jesus over it." And he did that. The mother tried to do it. It didn't work. The father did it with some spiritual authority, and that was the end of it. I haven't heard of it again. And friendship. Oh, but the family will never understand. They don't need to understand. This is big stuff. Obey God. Just like Israel was not supposed to have interaction with the Canaanites, don't you either. Recognize it and confess it. Renounce and declare yourself free from it. Accept forgiveness by faith. Find your way to prayer meetings, revival meetings, a good spiritual church. Spend some time in fasting and prayer and dedicate yourself completely to Jesus Christ. You know, it's not difficult, but I find these people, I never find any of them who I can ask the question, "Have you ever given your heart and life to Jesus Christ completely?" And they don't know what I'm talking about, are they? Be filled with the Holy Spirit and set yourself to obey the Word of God. Now, Revelation 21:8 in closing. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters, all liars, shall have their part in the lake of fire, or in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Remember that those that practice witchcraft cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. And I want to explain something concerning idolatry. In John, 1 John 5, the Bible says, I think it's 1 John 5, "Little children, keep yourself from idols." This is idolatry. Just like I told you, when you do this stuff, it's just the same as if you try to worship God and then go to Ashtaroth or you go over to Baal. It is idolatry of the same kind. I don't believe it was any worse for Israel to offer to the true God and then go over to try to appease Ashtaroth and the heathen with that one in between there. That's what people are doing, and the thing in a nutshell can be called idolatry. That's what it is. It's going after heathen gods, and it is bowing down, and you lay your bodies on their tables and let them do with you what they want. It's sin. Idolatry. Witchcraft. Those that do such things shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Alright, so much for the message. I just want to encourage you tonight. I don't know, maybe most of you believe this. Most of you understood it. Like I say, it's not my words, it's in the scriptures. You can search it out. You can look at it. If you want the list of scriptures, I can give you the list of scriptures again. Or you get a tape and go listen to it again and take your Bible and go through every scripture and underline it and study the scriptures that I gave you. There are a bunch more that you can get. Look up all those words. Familiar spirits, divination, sorcery, witchcraft, soothsaying, and so on. And you'll come up with an education. Now, I do recommend tonight we're going to give an invitation. If you have any of these experiences in your life where there is a darkness upon your soul, where you feel you're hindered in your Christian life and you need help, where a brother or a sister or somebody helps you renounce this thing and repent of it, you respond to the altar here, they'll take you downstairs, put you in a circle, you renounce your involvement, the next one renounces theirs, and that's fine. If you have a special problem where you know you have demonic activity somehow in your life, that you hear stuff and see stuff and sense stuff that is not of God, then I also recommend you to come forward and repent, and we'll try and help you as you confess and bring the thing out. Others, if you're mildly affected, and let's say you went to a reflexologist, or you once took to a homeopathic doctor, or something like that, if it's a simple thing that you just unknowingly went to them and you partook of it, that's something I believe you can handle at home. Just get to your closet, your bedside, repent of it and say, I didn't realize, but I realized I did this and did that and did the other thing. I don't sense I have any problem with it. You know, I'm still okay. Then you just ask the Lord to forgive you for it and set your heart never to do it again. And yield your life to Jesus Christ. Because the Bible says one of the offenses of God is the fact that you run to that and not to Him. That's the offense. That you go to the other sources and you don't come to me, saith God. And if you have a physical malady, then ask for anointing with oil in the name of the Lord, like the Scripture makes provision for that. And God will heal you if you confess your faults one to another. Or I'm not saying He always does, but God can take care of you. Plus, I think it's okay to use herbs for the healing of mankind in their pure sense, or go to a doctor. It's not wrong in my mind. But at the same time, watch out for these practitioners. They're lurking in every health food store and in every chiropractor office and those places, and that's where we tend to go. Watch out for them. Sit down with your chiropractor and ask him how he feels about this stuff or whether he's into any other thing besides adjusting the back or the bones. And you'll soon discover whether he's into New Age medicine. And if he is, then bid your exit, bid him good day, and leave him and never go back again. That's what I recommend. So now we're going to sing an invitation hymn just in case somebody is out there who really wants help to pull that weed in your life and you want to get rid of it and respond. Come up to the altar somewhere here and kneel, and the brethren will take you downstairs and help you. And if somebody needs a special session, you're welcome to come to the motorhome afterwards or tomorrow or sometime this weekend if you have a real difficulty, because I sometimes get into these situations, it takes a couple hours to work through them, and I want to try and make myself available if you have a serious problem. All right, shall we sing, and you mind the Lord and be open to Him concerning it.
God bless you for listening to the preaching of His Word. You may leave us a message by pressing 99. To hear information about our Saturday morning Bible study, press 88. To find out how to listen to a church service at Effort of Christian Fellowship, press 77. To hear the menu for this topic again, please stay on the line. To listen to any other message in this topic, press the appropriate extension number now.